and the present state of podcasting, of the podcasting community, of podcasting in general, is that it's pretty bad, really. I was just going to do more searching on the internet for what's going on with podcasting and go into a couple of my old haunts. I guess I've been in it for, how long have I been in it for? A few years. Anyways, yeah, I'm Daydreamer and I'm in my studio, and between that and the little like computer lab I got set up here, I'm actually just referencing my old compact disc here to see when I actually did start podcasting. Anyways, yeah, my old podcast was called, my better, I guess, podcast where I put most of my work was called A Few Minutes of Tech. And that came out of the time when I think really podcasting was, shall I say, the exact precise opposite of what it is now. It was popular, it was new, it was exciting. Nobody really knew what it was about and what it entailed and where it could lead. Let's see, go back at least 4 years with podcasting here in my file. So something like that. And I stopped about a year and a half ago. That'd be November of odd seven. This, is, by the way, is the first day of spring. Happy spring. Gee, I wonder if that's a coincidence that I'm doing my podcast today. Anyways, I can't even do my search. First reactions here. After having not been into podcasting, and by the way, if I'm not into podcasting, I ain't being interested in listening to no podcasts either, okay? But, so I'm outside of it, coming back in, providing that, you know, outsider perspective, that fresh face to something that I'm maybe not totally fresh to. I'm not a virgin, I guess I should say. It's awful. The podcast community has not changed. In fact, no. Okay, I got to back up. My first response is that this is just terrible. But the Daydreamer's first response, is that everything that I said in my series has come true. The predominant downloads, podcast downloads, are all from essentially mainstream media. And I can get into all this because this isn't, you know, some sort of diatribe. Okay, I'm not coming out saying podcasting is dumb. Okay. So to get back into where I'm coming from with it, I started off doing podcasting, I would say, frankly, at its peak. I would say that, or at least at its most recent peak. And I don't know what that means, except sort of that's my gut instinct coming through here. Obviously, I'm implying there that podcasting ain't gonna disappear. But what I noticed was that most of the podcasts at that time, so we're talking 4 years ago or so, predominantly centered around technology, centered around the World Wide Web, centered around the internet, centered around using software, yada, 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 right? And then, of course, you had podcasts that were very audience-centric, but also of a larger conversation, so podcasts about sports, and of course, news, political commentary, and this sort of thing. But predominantly what stood out very clearly were technology podcasts. And this shouldn't be at all even uniquely surprising, certainly not shocking to us, because technology is easily one of the most unrepresented areas of news reporting and journalism today. And at the same time, clearly one of the most predominant areas of the lives that we live. I mean, even if technology for you comes down to owning your cell phone, that cell phone can be a lifeline for you, but it could at least be a significant part of your life. Even people who I know are almost zealous in their dismissal of technology are still avid watchers of television and or readers of book or both or otherwise engaged with more media than I am. And you know, I'm going to get into myself a little bit here because I'm going through some things in this part of my life that I'm finally coming to terms with. Daydreamer is finally coming to terms with his life on the internet. So yeah, I go to my old haunt and what do I see? What else? Well, it's not just that, you know, if I go through the top 10 lists of top podcasts on the internet, they're basically all, you know, they're all from mainstream media. By the way, you know, I'll start at that point because certainly the point stood out to me at that time when I saw it. These are not podcasts, okay? And it's worth to get back into this definition of podcasting. It's not something on, what do they call it? Something on demand. Realize, when I got into podcasting, there was another pod out there called the iPod, and it was the biggest thing in technology at the time. Now we have smartphones that have taken over. Suddenly, podcasting isn't so popular. Oh, yes, it was just always a coincidence that podcasting became popular at the same time iPods became popular. Right. The prevaricators behind their sort of walls of podcasting technology, who buy like $10,000 worth of microphones and podcasting gear, wanted me, at least as a podcast virgin, listening to podcasts way back then, to think that podcasting was, what was it? I don't even remember what their acronym was. I mean, to me, it's asinine, even though it's something I might use. Something like publishing on demand or production on demand, audio on demand, which would be an oddcast, right? Or something, I don't know. But yeah, the other side of that, which was just so obvious it would come to pass, is you're going to have back then, and we saw it much more predominantly in the video blog or vlog community, was the predominant force of the ego. So you're going to have like the stars of podcasting, right? And of course, they're going to be predominantly male. At this point, I think that is the case. We see the same thing, not so much in the vlog community, very, very clearly, very predominantly in the video streaming community, though. We see the same effect where we have males who individually have been able to aggrandize and associate their ego with the medium and sort of push that forward. And they'll just sort of attach themselves to whatever the state is. If people are into news, then they'll call themselves podcast journalists. If people are into entertainment, then they'll call themselves, I don't know, podcast jockeys or something. But really, it's just fluffing their ego and then using that to put forward their ego, their name as a brand, essentially. Kind of like what I'm doing with you today. Ha ha ha. But, That's obviously come to pass as well. It was always there in the podcasting community. There were those who were a part of podcasting who were interested in doing, you know, technology reporting and this sort of thing. And then there were those who were obviously using it to, as I've just sort of expressed, grandstand and use podcasting as their stand to grandstand on, right? Ah, I got some tea here. I mean, where do we go from, what do we make of all this? What do we do with all this? And, you know, I go to one site that was, I don't want to call it an authority on the internet, and I won't name it because I've named it before in my old podcast. But I went to that site at the very end of just sort of glancing over the podcasting community on the internet. And of course, I'm going through search utilities. And what am I going to do? I'm going to throw in the word podcast. Okay. If you listen to podcasts, ignore what I'm about to ask you. If you don't listen to podcasts, name to me 10 podcasts. Okay. Now, if you can name 10 podcasts, you're probably someone who has a computer, uses a computer on a regular basis, is on the internet a lot, and is kind of bored, and kind of uses podcasting to fill up the time. Okay. If you listen to podcasting and you can name 10 podcasts and you're not an enthusiast of the podcast community, I would venture to say you probably don't listen to satellite radio. Okay. So where am I going with this? Well, this is sort of my first thought after, you know, sort of detailing the only word that comes to mind to describe the podcasting community is vapid. That's the only way. So, I mean, that doesn't do anything. So my first thought is you need a signature here. You need something that says not, this is what podcasting is because this is the amazing podcaster and this is his name and this is where you go to download his podcast. Podcasting, at least where I'm coming from on it, and I know that I have the support of the technology here, is very much its own standard. Okay. So kind of in a quandary here to kind of describe that, because there's two different angles that we can come at that from, right? But in response to this horrid state of the podcast community, which again, totally predictable, a year and a half on from leaving the community, I wouldn't even call it a community anymore. Frankly, it just seems to be its own clique of people who want to make money out of podcasting. You know, not that that's a bad thing, of course. I'm going to say things here that if you're not familiar with some of my podcasting, might sound like opinion, but I'll try to start backing it up more with a little more detail here, I guess. But it's very clear right from, I mean, even in a way before podcasting even exists as podcasting, that there's very, very clear technologies here that separate, you know, podcasting from what I think a lot of podcasters want it to be, which is not podcasting, but radio. And of course, what podcasting has become, which is mainstream, and it's very important that mainstream is associated with the establishment. Like I said at the beginning here, that's not podcasting. That's audio encapsulation. They call it podcasting because podcasting also happens to be a catchphrase. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I'll obviously, if I do this and I do more podcasting, I'll be downloading more podcasts, listening to a lot of podcasts. It's not beyond me to listen to 8 and 12 hours of podcasting every day. But (clears throat) Maybe I'm the only one saying this anymore. Maybe I'm the only one into this. I know the few that were into this when I was listening to podcasting were seemed to be getting out of it. And clearly the iPod isn't a significant promotional vehicle that they can use for podcasting as a genre. But you see, where I come from is I'm looking at it on a basis that says, you know, there's a technology that is podcasting. And it's not a podcasting technology. It's not like a podcasting microphone or a podcasting mixing console. There's a specific type of technology that, as I've applied it to my experience as an audio artist and as a musician, is best applied to what I think is best defined as podcasting. Okay. But I'm going to back up on that. That's usually the angle I come at it with. But now I'm coming at it from the other angle. And the other angle is that podcasting can have and should have, and we should be looking for this if we have an actual podcasting community, a specific signature. So how does that work? Imagine it this way, okay? One of my mental experiments. I'll never give up on doing mental experiments. So you're going to have to give me your mind and I'm going to hypnotize you and you're going to send me all your money. Haha. Say it's summer, you're at the beach and you're by yourself, calm day, nothing to do, you have no commitments, you're free, you're liberated from anything and everything. And you're thinking, maybe I'll get an ice cream or maybe I'll get a drink or something. And you happen upon a speaker, and from that speaker is emanating sound, right? Okay. So how can we identify something from that, say, within less than 5 seconds, and say, oh, that's a podcast? Okay. Not because, oh, I know who that podcaster is, because, you know, the thing is, here's the thing. When podcasting really started to pick up steam, you could almost imagine, seriously here, you could almost imagine everybody having their own podcast. Now, if you think about that for a second, if everyone actually did have their own podcast, what that would mean is that nobody would have a podcast. Because what happens when you flood a medium like that is the cream always rises to the top, and it's the cream that you want. You know, you're not interested in the water, you want the fat. Okay. And so that's why I say it was obvious what was going to happen with podcasting, is that the people whose interest was basically passing would eventually pass, and what would be left would be those who had invested money in it, who had an angle that they were pushing, and who would, as I think is likely the case now, be front and center in podcasting, so that when you type in the word on a search engine, they're the names that you're going to get up. Okay. Well, it turns out that there actually is a very clear signature that we can have for podcasting, okay? For example, monaural audio. Another example, low-quality audio. And low-quality audio is very important. Same thing with monaural audio. This is so important. It doesn't mean it sounds terrible. In fact, quite often it can mean it can sound perfectly fine. The point is, you don't need a really high quality audio reproduction to reproduce the human voice. A minimal amount of technology will go a very long way to doing a very good quality audio representation of, say, me speaking or you speaking or anyone speaking. Okay. The point is, though, not to make it And this is where the challenge would be, if we actually had a community, would be to take those who do have $10, $20, and $40,000 worth of money invested in their podcasting life, to actually try producing something of a low quality nature, or of, you know, basically a low quality aesthetic, right? But to be realistic here, one of the reasons why the podcasting should and must and is going to, one way or another, take advantage of this low quality audio signature as a trait is because it's characteristic of a technology that not only is podcasting, it lends itself to the entire nature of why podcasting exists in the first place. So in other words, I'm saying, you know, the cliche, you know, podcasting has lost sight of what podcasting originally was. The whole idea of what podcasting is, someone like me, some dolt in his home in the middle of nowhere, can put together a bunch of audio, throw it onto the internet, and it's the equivalent of having a little micro radio program with a couple listeners on it. And it's great, okay, because it takes full advantage of also what the internet was supposed to be in the first place. For those who simply could never have a voice in corporatized established radio, to have a voice, you know. And I say that having had a relative tell me that I should get into radio because I like blabbermouthing about shit, and trying to explain to that person that I would have to adjust myself to accommodate the demands of a radio station which had just opened up in my community. We've never had one here. And I think, actually, you know, come to think of it, I think I stopped podcasting about the time that that radio station opened, which was coincidental, by the way. But they're not, to me, a radio station. They're just not. I mean, they are corporate sanitized. I could probably walk out my door and in a day or a week find enough material for a program to put on the air, who knows, a dozen local bands and their music, okay? And why not? And the whole point there is, why not, if you're a local radio station, put that into rotation? No, it's always going to be the same thing. It'll be 8 o'clock on Tuesdays for half an hour. We'll, you know, do a little, you know, minuet from a local artist. Yeah, right. I mean, that's not radio. Radio isn't radio. Radio's lost sight of radio. Television's lost sight of television. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to happen to podcasting. More importantly, my view is, because of this technological signature of podcasting, it may even be impossible for it to happen. Okay. Now, if we were to have that kind of a situation, what might happen if someone knew, you know, went on the internet, in their browser search, typed in the word podcast? Well, what you would see is what you should see. I should see me. That's always the case with culture. I should see myself reflected back. I should see someone who's just like me, maybe making a fool of themselves, maybe talking about stuff that I'm interested in. But the last thing I want to see is someone who's there to set some kind of false standard, to make it into basically another version of established radio, television, broadcasting, right? And of course, how do you tell that? Well, you tell that because it isn't you. It's not reflecting anything that you have anything in common with. Okay. So here I am, I'm doing my first podcast, and I'm going on now 25 minutes talking about podcasting. Does anyone in the podcasting community do that? Oh, you better believe it. If you're to take the top 10 podcasters, right? I'm not talking about the established audio encapsulation podcast, but the actual podcasting podcasters. I would say it would almost be impossible for all of them not to be talking about podcasting. I mean, so there's my responsibility right now is I got to find out, are they talking about this signature? I know they're not because I've listened to their shows for many hours, and it's never even been a remote. I don't even think it's a topic on their radar screen, frankly. Okay. But the clearly the power of what I would call just more colloquially low quality audio is completely being overlooked here. Okay. So I guess you know what I would say to that is, hey, there's a great opportunity. It's a wonderful opportunity there. The other thing I guess I have to get into here is the whole matter of like getting away from sound reproduction technology in general and just going into where I think we're going. I saw a headline on I go to Google News regularly. Not that I want to get my news that way, but that's just where I go right now. And I saw the headline. I can't remember exactly what it was about, but it was basically, you know, everything is mobile now. And oh, I know, it was about the Palm Pre. I don't think I can do a podcasting right now without at least mentioning the Palm Pre phone that hasn't come out just yet. Or is it coming out? When is it coming out? May? Yeah, okay, so this is just March here, but yeah, it's like everything is mobile. And the moment I read that, it's just like, no, you're clueless. Okay, and we now have that term cloud computing, and I love that term so much because it describes what myself and others have been trying to describe very frustratingly. Because the language isn't there, the words aren't there, and we English speakers rely on words extensively to start descriptions and conversations about things. But yeah, that's where we're going. My vantage point on that, and I've never given it a term like I never adopted grid computing or anything like that, because I think most of that was, sanitized by the established education system, which is where that took place. Okay, this is coming more out of the privatized internet, but it's clearly got some work, clear working computer theory behind it too, and there is the involvement of science too, real science, not state science, by the way. My vantage point is optical networking and this sort of thing. So, geez, I get into that half an hour here. I am planning, I've got it up on my docket right now to do an essay. Oh, and by the way, why am I podcasting today? One of the reasons I'm podcasting today is because I'm writing ridiculously long essays again. I finally have my first writing blog, which won't probably be of news of to anyone listening to this in the next immediate while, anyways. But those from my deep dark past would know that I've been like scouring for years to have my own writing blog, and it's just never come to pass for reasons that I'll leave unsaid for the moment. But yeah, it's nice to be writing again and to have my own writing blog, just so I can just even just say I have a writing blog. But Yeah, I'm at the point now where I'm looking at like 4 and 6,000 word essays, and because I'm coming from microblogging and even doing this podcasting, I'm just motivated out of the idea of microblogging. excuse me. Yeah, I kind of lost my train of thought there for a second. But basically, it's nice to have that writing blog. Writing my long essays, think I just want to podcast it. I don't know if I want to pod what I was gonna write about, what I have in my docket is basically just well, here I can go to the computer screen here and call it up. I think I've got my notes around here available. I should. So that I don't have to bore you for much longer. Cloud computing strategy. Oh yeah, well the cheapest vehicle to get on the cloud is where I start my own vantage point, my own view there, which is typical of how I approach it. Same thing with podcasting. I'm always looking for things in new trends that speak to originality. That's why I'm going to look at podcasting, and I'm going to say not what can I, how can I use podcasting for me? How can I make money? I'm going to look at podcasting. I'm going to say, okay, what is this really? What is podcasting? How does it compare to other methods of encapsulation or audio? How does it differ from music? How does it differ from a radio show? Okay. And then, are there key signatures that we can apply to it? Like I've said, I think low quality audio is just a beautiful signature. You could create a kind of audio environment in terms of what you hear from podcasting that would just make it clearly and identifiably a podcast. And you can create an entire culture that way, you know. I dare say you could probably even build a civilization even on something like that, and develop a whole, you know, audio language all its own. I think I'm gonna skip over boring you to death because I wanted to get into that more personal side of what's been going on in my life. I've had this sort of problem going on for quite a while. And of course, I would love to have an answer to it, but it's sort of like having a writing blog or an email account. It's just something that doesn't come to me easily for whatever reason. Problem is, as soon as I started publishing on the internet in 2001, at the end of 2001, which was the time of the events in New York City and 9/11. After that, about a month and a half after that, and I started publishing more as a response to the ridiculous, the insane response to the event itself. Not, I wasn't interested in publishing on the internet to respond to the event of 9/11. Okay. I like to clarify that point from time to time. But at that time, I was 10 years into a career as an artist. I had spent several years as an illustrator, and I was deep in the middle of doing several years of work, specifically in animation. And every year, I would say that every year I did something else. I would, when I was working with illustration, I would do a year of animation, or I'd do a year of video production. And it was just sort of to get something else under my belt. And I'm finding a lot of that now has become very valuable. But as soon as I po started publishing on the internet, that changed everything, because one of the things about my work as an artist is that I never really had an audience per se. Well, publishing on the internet, even if just one person sees your work, you have some kind of an audience there. So it was a night and day scenario for me, and it transformed my artistic life. I don't want to say it ended it, but I knew when it happened that there was kind of an ending to my artistic life. And the problem that I've had since then is not any sort of delineation or deterioration from art. It's that I don't know what to call myself anymore. And since then, I've really been just totally lost as to just simply, like, in polite conversation, someone asked me, what do you do? I can't answer the question anymore. It was already difficult enough being an artist, explaining what the lifestyle of an artist is like, because there aren't too many lifestyles quite like it. But now, on top of that, I have no real way to say, oh, this is what I do. Okay. And recently, my cat wants my attention. I've been looking at, as I got into doing my writing blog, I started detailing the writing over the past 4 years, and I was coming up against all these ridiculously weird roadblocks. Like I was collecting work from, like, about two, to summarize it as quickly as I can here, from about 2005 to 2007. Well, 2006 was missing. Where the heck did it go? And it turns out that 2006, I did an entire blog. It wasn't really a blog. It was just the closest I could get to a blog at that time. And meanwhile, I did another blog with that, and it turned out to be enough for a book worth of writing. Well, I had totally forgotten about this, okay? Which is just ridiculously insane. But it really got me thinking, like, this is what I am now. I don't know how to describe it. I'm clearly not a blogger. I'm clearly not a podcast. I mean, I can't call myself a podcaster. This is the first podcast episode I've done in a year and a half, as far as I know. I may have done, like, a couple little ones. I'd have to go over my records to see, which is even more ridiculous. It's like it sounds like I don't even know what I'm doing half the time, right? But I mean, see, this for me is not art. This is not an art form. This is commentary. And so I made up a little list here just so I could refer to it. And I kind of started thinking, okay, well, what do I do? Am I a commentator? That was the first thing that kind of sprung to mind, because I kind of make comments on things. But commentator kind of implies that, I don't want to say it's incorrect, because it could be correct. But a commentator implies that the reason why you do your blog is because you're talking about something that's going on outside of you, right? Where I have no problem talking about stuff that's going on with me specifically, because I'm very well aware that sometimes what happens to me can happen to others, okay? And so I just have to be connected with others to have. And I thought pundit. Pundit. Well, I have a big problem with even thinking of myself as a pundit. I know right now a pundit is kind of looked down upon and frowned upon, but, you know, that could easily change as the political environment changes. The problem, I can't call myself that simply because of the matter of opinion. And I've gotten into this a little bit with my microblogging. But the whole thing about opinion is that I just don't have one. I'm not interested in opinion. Opinion has to do with sort of having a point of view and putting yourself, actually technically your ego, on the line. And so if someone wants to confront your view, what they're confronting is your opinion, and then you defend that opinion. Opinion is very argumentative. It's very much, in my humble view, because I don't have a humble opinion, right? I'm being silly now, but it's very much the product of those with a post-secondary education. I don't meet a lot of people who are high school diploma or less, okay, like myself, who have that kind of opinion. They are often, those people are very opinionated, but so are the so-called people with opinions on things, right? So that's a long explanation, but that, believe it or not, not having an opinion is really cool for me, because I can cancel out a whole bunch of things identifiable to myself. So what about a columnist? Well, I can't do a columnist because, of course, that would just be writing. I don't really think of what I do as writing. You know, one of the big things I did in podcasting is I started looking at these guys who saw themselves as, oh yeah, podcasting is the next great thing, and I'm the great podcaster, therefore I'm the next great thing. And I saw in the individual male humans who were doing that something very interesting, because it's something that I've observed with individual humans like Rush Limbaugh and that guy who wears the cowboy hat all the time and thinks he's a cowboy, but his radio show has kind of gone down the tubes because of his version of racism. Or the Bill O'Reillys and these sorts of humans. And that is what they really are, is Howard Stern. And of course, this doesn't make sense to people who are interested in those individual humans, but the reality is that it's shock jocking. And Howard Stern was the expert on it. And actually, I started listening to Howard Stern, okay, because I was interested in podcasting. And I made this observation. And I started listening to Howard Stern while listening to podcasts. And I would listen to both sometimes, like, one after the other, daily, to sort of try to really draw into my own podcast this very stark reality between shock jocking in basically what I would call established radio. People in radio wouldn't call it that, because they see radio as being basically, you know, your very large established radio versus your very small micro or very small local radio. But to me, radio is radio, okay, because it's become ubiquitous just because it's not popular anymore. And so that's why satellite radio is taking over, because it's the new big thing, right? Just like podcasting is the new big thing. Of course, podcasting isn't taking over anything, right? That's why it's good to kind of get in on the ground floor of podcasting at this point in time. Well, as it turns out, I think that I could look at being a critic or being a skeptic or being an analyst as being kind of what I do. And the reason for that is, if we look at Howard Stern, which is going to be some kind of litmus again, No, it's going to be a standard, I think, that people are going to live up to. Either you're going to pursue the individual ego and be basically, I mean, frankly, it would be basically the Howard Stern of podcasting. Either you're going to go down that road, or you're going to go down the road of being in a group, an organization, a society, appealing to a mass audience, right? Because you're going to have you're going to have all the good stories, and you're going to have all the right technology, and you're going to have all the networking with advertisers, and everything's going to be perfect in that way. Well, the thing about that is that people who want to have domination over all mediums and media, who live in that sort of rose-colored glasses world, if I can put it that way, excuse me, often have an impossible time actually getting out of that. So, for example, what isn't surprising to me but is of interest to me is that if I looked at the lead podcasters right now with the sorry state of podcasting, I would undoubtedly not find those individuals who are lead video streamers, who are doing the video streaming shows that are very popular. So if you take your popular video streams and you take your popular podcasts, probably wouldn't find much, maybe if any, crossover. Now, I can be wrong there, but I think that that's going to be the exception to the rule where I'm wrong. And that's not inherent in the technology, okay? That's inherent in how we're applying it. Podcasters are seeing themselves as radio broadcasters. They're not going to be looking at video streaming. Video streamers are not going to be looking at podcasting because they're coming out of the light of being basically some kind of maybe a television shock jock or a television show host. See what I'm saying? That's not rose-colored glasses. That's just blinders. That's not wanting to see the reality in front of you, okay? Well, from my own approach, I maintain a balance between all of these things. Now, I've never been able to sort of pull it off where I do all at once very effectively. And obviously, I'm not effective in the sense of like being really good at it or anything. But I know that I'm clearly equal at doing my video cast, my vlog, as I am at doing my podcast, as I am at doing my blogging. I mean, I've just had my own writing blog officially for not even 2 months, a month now, something like that. But I know it's there because I know myself as a writer, okay? And what this comes back to is more than just simply what I think is a more accurate view of the internet. It's also where we are culturally. Okay, so I'm not speaking to the future here. I'm not speaking in some sort of future sense. I'm speaking strictly in the most present day sense of reality, of what's really going on right now. And I guess my sort of hands-off definition there would be, as an artist, the way I would describe it is the way I described first working on computers. If I look at a computer, the first response I have as an artist is it's a tool of multimedia, okay? I can do text on it, I can do image, I can do audio, I can do... Oops, sorry about that. My battery just died. This happens from time to time in doing a podcast. The computer is capable of doing these multimedia tasks. So my approach has always been to look at, you know, what it is you're actually doing, which is putting data on a hard drive, and sort of see the hard drive as being a canvas. And so I'm just going to paint on that canvas whatever I want, which means I have something in my head, in my imagination. I want to use my creativity to put it out. It could be a poem. It could become an illustration. It could become a video. It could become graphics. You name it. But at the end of that, what becomes significant is that I want to be able to focus just on that process. So the last thing I want to be is just a visual artist or just an audio artist or just a musician or just a poet or just, you know, this. And I call that sort of the old industrial way of thinking, where the technological way of thinking makes those types of pursuits all equal instead of just matters of trade. So anyways, I'm coming out of that, but what have I become? You know, it's been kind of a daunting thing for me to try and figure out. I think maybe like the term analyst is maybe the most appropriate her best descriptive where I've been for like 8 years now. It'd be really nice if I just had like just a word to describe myself. I think I'm more non-opinionated journalism than I am straight reporting or reportage, except for the fact that I tend to report my observations more scientifically with insight instead of like opinion. I usually lump journalism together with opinion and reporting together with straight observation. So reporters, I don't know, can a reporter be an analyst? I guess if I am an analyst, capital A, and I just microblogged, I'm an analyst, what the fuck? Or I'm sorry, WTF, I'll maybe bleep that out. I apologize for swearing. What is it that I analyze then, right? Certainly, if I look at like the umpteen hours of video I've done and like the freaking 100 hours of audio work I must have done in my podcast, A Few Minutes of Tech in particular, I'm clearly focused on what is popular with people or groups or masses and why it's popular. And that includes looking at negative aspects of stories and especially focusing on things that are kind of left unseen or unspoken or unignored. And really, I mean, just to sort of summarize all that, this is why I'm doing podcasting again. I just see something there that doesn't exist, and I've got an original sort of take on it. But yeah, I've already had a battery difficulty, and I think that's kind of a good place to end. And I went on pretty long here, but I do know how to blabber. If you actually listen to this, thanks a lot. And I'm going to take off now and stick this on the internet somewhere. Ciao for now.